Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
We're excited because we are in the third week of a series entitled Go 100. This started off 2 weeks ago. We talked about giving, about tithe for 2 weeks, and now we're trying to change the focus just a little bit today. And I'm excited about today. I don't know if you can tell that or not, because we are going to talk about an area which I think will be so profound. If you really understand this area and you start to apply what we teach today, it's going to change everything for you. And I'm not over-exaggerating that by any means either. So today, continuing with this financial series, what I'm going to do is show you several passages. They're all going to come out of what we call the wisdom book, the book of Proverbs. And so if you'd head over to Proverbs chapter 21, that's where we're going to start today. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Those guys will hand you one as well. It is our gift to you. Put your name in it and head over to Proverbs chapter 21 with us. Now, as they're passing those out, if you weren't here for the last 2 weeks, let me just catch you up real quick. We started this talking about the idea that when we get a paycheck, when you get paid, you are actually taking a test. And the test goes something like this. What is it that you hold is most important in your life? What has lordship written all over it in your life? Where are your priorities? And we demonstrate that by how we handle our finances. And what we also talked about in that first week was the fact that we needed to place God first, because only God has the ability to bless our finances. Not the IRS, not Amazon, not MasterCard, only God, and God alone has the ability to bless our finances. The other thing that we found out is that God knew that we were going to struggle with that. Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. It's counterintuitive that in order for God to bless me, that I need to give, and that doesn't make any sense to me. So even in that, God provided a way, because in Malachi, He says, test me in this and see if I don't, you know, open up the floodgates of heaven and fill your storehouses so full that you can't even hold it. And so God is even telling us, look, test me in this and see what happens. Just give me a shot. And so we learned that in week number one. We came back last week. We continued in that idea of tithing. We found out that God is more interested in a cheerful giver. He wants us giving out of a generous heart, not begrudgingly. And in that, we also found out that He wants to be first in every area of our lives, including our finances. And what we told you last week is if you will bring God your first and your best, God will bless the rest. And that's the way that works. He wants to be first. And like I said before, we're taking a test. Every time we get paid, are we going to put God first in our lives? Now, today is going to be very practical. We're going to get into some truths, and then we're going to get into some very practical ways that you and I can start to exercise what we're learning in this series. And so let me lay something on you. It's not revolutionary, but it's something I think instinctively we all know, but we don't really live by it. We don't really understand it, and it's this. It's the fact that there is a big difference between your standard of living and your quality of life. There's a big difference between those two. If you don't know what those are, we're going to refer to standard of living as how much money you make, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, how many toys you have, what kind of vacations you take. That's a standard of living. Quality of life would be how much joy do you have in your life, how much peace do you experience, the fulfillment that you have in life, how content are you where you're at right now. There's a big difference between those two. And the reason that we struggle with that is because everything in our society is designed to tell you that those two things are linked together. Think about all the marketing strategies that you see. Everything is designed to make you believe that if you buy this, if you own that, if you if you approach things this way with this amount of money, that this much joy and satisfaction, and they're smiling on the commercials, so it's got to be true. And they sell us on the idea that those two things, standard of living and quality of life, are somehow linked together. And everything tells us this. Every commercial that you saw during the Super Bowl told you that you had to have these things to be happy, or you had to do this or own this to be happy. If I could just reach this level, then there would be another level of happiness that I would experience in my life. Marketing has gotten so sophisticated in selling us this idea that marketers will tell you, and if you're in the marketing industry, don't get me wrong, you guys are knocking it out of the park, great job. I'm just speaking truth from the other side today, okay? And so don't take offense to this, but I want everyone to know that there's a reason why they do that, because they're selling you a product, and if they can sell you on that product and you buy it, they make more money, so that's the idea. But I want you to know that those two things are not really linked, no matter what marketing tells you. Marketing has gotten so sophisticated, they are telling us that they know what you're going to buy strictly based upon who you follow on social media. I mean, that's how far they're taking this, to figure out what you're going to be susceptible to buying so that they can sell you or present you with the things that you might want in your life. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, we were in the bedroom, and I was looking at our bed. And our mattress has gotten to this place. I don't know if you have one like this, but it looks like moguls. Have you? Our mattress is like up and down. There's like hills. And like when you lay into it, there's a certain place you actually end up, not because you wanted to, because that's where it pushes you to. And I was getting frustrated by this. And I just finally blurted out one day. I was like, how old is this mattress? I mean, seriously. And she goes, well, I think we bought that when I was pregnant with Trooper. And I was like, he's 23 years old. Like, this is a 10-year mattress. We should have bought one of these a long time. So I decided to start doing some research, because now I've got in my head, I need a mattress. And I'm thinking I'm going to, you know, spend $100, maybe $200 on a mattress. Oh, some of you guys, you shopped, haven't you? Yeah, did you know they're like $10,000? There's mattresses out there. You're dropping like $10,000, $12,000 on a mattress. And I'm like, you're crazy. The more I got into it, all of a sudden, every time I would open up the computer, there were pop-ups, you know, I'd go to social media, there were certain ads for mattresses. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, it was everywhere just because I searched for it. I started doing more and more research, and the marketing started to tell me that every year I spend about 3 months sleeping in a bed. So therefore, when you average it out, $10,000 is not that much. And actually, I'm worth that, because if I could sleep better, I would be better at work. I can make more money, right? And this is the thought thread that goes through. And pretty soon, you're justifying a $10,000 mattress. But this is what marketing does. It starts to tell you that standard of living equals quality of life. And those things are not true. Hear me out. It's a lie. Those two things are not linked. And some of you know that because you're making more money today than you ever have. You're living in nicer homes. You've got nicer cars, nicer toys. You go on better vacations. And yet you don't feel any more peace today than you did years ago. This is a lie. You have more stress today than you've ever had. You argue more about money in your relationships now than you ever have. Standard of living does not equal quality of life. Do you know what no one will tell you? And I want you to get this today. If you increase your standard of living, you can actually decrease your quality of life. If you go and you chase after the Joneses and you do all of that stuff, your quality of life can actually decrease. It can go down. You start to go the wrong direction by pursuing standard of living. And some of you know that to be true, because this is exactly where you've been living for a while. Now, which one do you think God wants for you? Do you think He wants you to be in a good marriage and living in a smaller home, and maybe taking a nice vacation every once in a while? Or do you think that God would rather desire for you to have a horrible marriage and go on exotic vacations every year? See, I think we know the answer to that. But even knowing the answer to that, we're still making some bad decisions, and some of you are taking vacations with people you don't even like. Is this hitting a little too close to home? See, I want us to get this morning, guys. God has a better plan for us. The sooner you and I realize that standard of living and quality of life don't go hand in hand, the better off that we're going to be. And let me show you by showing you a series of graphs. Here's the first one. And I know that this is just generally speaking, okay? But generally speaking, the longer you live, the longer you're at your job, the more training you get, the more qualified you are at what you do, your income will increase over time. Okay, and I know that's not, some of you are like, well, that's not mine. Mine's like this. You know, and I get that, okay? Some of us are, and some of us have gone up and then kind of flatlined. I get that, okay? But generally speaking, most of us are going to just gradually increase in income as the years go by. Now, the reason I bring this up is because you would think that that would lead to quality of life, but it doesn't, because here's what happened. We bought into the lie of the marketing scheme that says standard of living and quality of life are tied together, and so here's what happens with our spending. It tracks right along with our income. So we think if we make more money, we'll be happier, but the problem is, every dollar that we make, we spend. If you get a $10 increase, how much do you spend? $10. You get a $1,000 promotion, what do you spend? $1,000. And some of you, I know, are looking at that going, I wish that was the case, because for me, the red line is on the other side of the blue line. Because this is what we do. We spend more than what we actually have many times. Now, I want you to know that 8 out of 10 Americans live just like this, paycheck to paycheck. The problem with that is there is no financial peace in that. None. Because we're constantly worried about tomorrow. We're constantly worried about the next day. We're constantly worried about losing our job and what's going to happen if the car breaks down because we don't have the money to pay for that. This is no way to live if you're seeking financial peace in your life. Now, here's the truth. Financial peace, happiness, joy, contentment depends more on creating margin than getting more stuff. It's all about margin. It's not about stuff. It's not about standard of life. It's about margin. Well, what does that look like? Let me show you what peace looks like. You ready for this? This is it. If you can create a gap between your income and your spending and create margin in there, you're going to start to experience financial peace. It's amazing how this works. And it's so countercultural. Trust me, I get it. But listen to me. Some of us, by lowering our standard of living, can create margin and increase our quality of life. Let me say that again. Some of us, we could lower our standard of living and create margin and increase our quality of life. Are you with me? I want you to get this, because this is what nobody's talking about, but you need to hear it, because this will change everything for us. Today, I want to talk to you about how we create that white line. How do we create margin? And it's this little thing that we talk about, we call it saving. Saving. This is the second one up here. We talked about giving for the last 2 weeks. I want to talk to you about saving today. Now, in the Bible, you might be asking, is it biblical? I want you to know that in the Bible, tithing is actually commanded, but saving is strongly encouraged. So if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not saving, am I not doing what God wants me to do? Look, it's not like you're in sin, okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it's strongly encouraged. And as I told you before, all of our scriptures are going to come out of the wisdom book for a reason, because I want you to understand that saving equals wisdom. And you're going to see that as we cover these passages. Now, you might be going, well, I don't really buy that, Don, you know, because we're told in scripture that we're supposed to have faith, right? Even Jesus, when he was on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, he's teaching everybody and he says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Am I violating that? If I save some money, am I going against biblical principles? And I would tell you, here's what Jesus knew when he was teaching that. Jesus knew that you wouldn't worry as much about tomorrow if you saved a little today. That's what he knew. So saving is not going against biblical principles. I would actually argue the other direction and say saving, we're taught in Scripture, is wise, very wise for us to do. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Are you there? This is what it says. The wise have what? Wealth. Okay, three people. The wise have what? Wealth and luxury, and fools spend whatever they get. You know what that means? That means that graph that I just showed you a minute ago, the wise create margin, and the fools, that red line hugs right up against that blue line. They spend everything that they get. Now, here's the big idea for the day, okay? So if you miss everything else today, I want you to get this. This is where we're going. Lowering your standard of living to save for tomorrow can increase your quality of life today. And you can make this change. I'm going to show you how in a minute. But you can make this change very quickly and start to create a better quality of life for you and your family, like overnight, just by saving. You can actually start to pursue peace in your life this year by deciding to take these steps of saving. So I want to show you two ways that you can save, which I think are just so important if you're pursuing financial peace in your life. First one is this. We need to be saving because saving creates margin for short-term emergencies. It's amazing to me how many people get upset and are shocked when something breaks down. Oh my gosh, my car broke down yesterday. Like that's the only car that has ever broken down in the history of mankind, right? Like we all know it's going to happen someday. A flat tire, it's going to happen. We all know it's coming. But how many of us actually save for it? But we'll get wound up, we'll get upset, frustrated with the whole situation. And can I just say this? I don't think we're frustrated and upset because whatever broke down, broke down. I think we're upset because we realized in that moment we knew this was going to happen and we weren't prepared for it. So if you think about it, you're really upset with yourself when that happens. We don't want to be in that place. So you need to start saving and create margin for short-term emergencies because they are going to happen. Jesus even told us in John 6, he says, in this life, there will be trouble. Like your car is going to break down, hello, right? So save some money for when that happens. The reason we get upset is because we know this. We know it, but yet we still didn't save. We didn't prepare for it. And this is why we need to save for short-term emergencies. Dave Ramsey, in his Financial Peace University course, tells us that we should save at least $1,000 and put it into one account just for emergencies right away. That's if you're in debt. If you're trying to get out of debt, $1,000 minimum, put it aside, put it in an account so that if your car does break down, if the dishwasher goes out or whatever it might be, you can pay for that without affecting your budget. He talks about Murphy. You know what the Murphy Law is, right? Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And he said, it's amazing how often Murphy will leave you alone if you have that $1,000 account. And it's true. Why? Because you're prepared. Because you know it's going to happen, so you've prepared for it. Now, once you get out of debt, Dave Ramsey teaches that you should start to build that emergency fund up to 3 to 6 months worth of essentials. That's mortgage, utilities, things like that. And so making sure that if, God forbid, you were to lose your job or something, you could still survive, buy yourself some time without it crushing your budget so that you can find another job. 3 to 6 months, that's the goal. Now, on top of all that, I'll give you one more free piece of advice. This is just from me, from experience, okay? You ready for this? You should save up a little bit of money for Christmases and birthdays. It's amazing. Christmas comes every year on December 25th. Do you know that? But yet it shocks every one of us. We're like surprised. Oh no, I got to buy gifts. And what do? We go out and we charge it. The average American spends $1,000 on Christmas gifts every year. So let's just think of it this way. If you know Christmas is coming, let's pretend like it's actually going to come next December 25th, okay? And you saved $1,000. You know what you avoid? You avoid putting it on a credit card because those of you that put $1,000 on your credit card this last Christmas and you pay the minimum, you know how long it's going to take you to pay it off? 2024. And you will have paid in over $1,500 because you did not plan. This is simple. It's easy to do. You just have to plan ahead. Birthdays are the same way. We've got a family in this church that told me a couple of weeks ago that they've gone through, they figured out all their annual one-shot expenses, things like birthdays, things like vehicle registration, stuff like that, and they put them all together, they added it all up, and then they divided it by 12, and every month they put that amount of money into an account, and then they draw out of it as those things come about, which I thought was just super intelligent. It's basic budgeting. It's easy to save yourself a lot of just heartache and frustration and being upset with yourself because you didn't prepare for the emergency. We need to save because saving creates margin for short-term emergencies. Also, we need to be saving because saving creates margin for long-term future. You have a long-term future coming up, and I know if we asked in the room today, how many of you do not know, like you've never heard that there's a day coming when you're going to have to retire and you're going to need some money? How many of you have never been told that you're going to have to prepare for the future? See, I think we all instinctively know that. But yet, one in three Americans today have zero in a retirement account. They're not planning. And actually, baby boomers are higher than that. And I think that's some of that's because they were kind of relying on the government and Social Security for that. Which, by the way, if you watch how they spend their money, I don't think I would ever put all my eggs in that basket. Okay? I'm just going to take care of it myself and not going to worry about those guys. Now, we need to be planning ahead. Let me show you a retirement graph. This is something, again, we, I think, instinctively know. We just never acknowledge it until it's too late. But do you realize there's a day coming when you're actually not going to be able to work anymore? It's retirement. Maybe you get old enough, you can't work anymore, or you have an injury that keeps you from working. Do you realize that the spending doesn't go away? Like you still have to live? Have you prepared for that? See, we need to be planning. We need to be saving to create margin for a long-term future. We know it's coming, but we just don't do anything about it until it's too late. We need to create margin to cover these expenses. Actually, we need to learn from the Bible. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 6. If you flip back a couple of pages, Proverbs chapter 6, you would think that when the Bible is giving, especially in the book of wisdom, when we're giving instructions on how to live our lives, that they would pick somebody like King Solomon. You know, he was like the wisest man, the richest man ever to grace the face of the earth. Pick somebody like that. But look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. And this is what it says. Look who they use as an example. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Of all the things they could have used, they're using the ant, right? Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. They worked hard. They're preparing for a long time future. It's coming. We have a winter coming. It's called retirement. And you need to work hard now to save, to create margin, to take care of that. Now, I know some of you are like, well, you don't understand. I've got this sweet deal working on the side, right? I got this business thing. Ground floor, man. Get rich quick. I play the lottery every week, right? And some of us, let's be honest, this is our retirement plan. We think that that's going to work out someday. Can I just say Scripture speaks to that? Go over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Because if that's your plan, I want you to know what the book of wisdom has to say about your retirement plan, all right? It says this, wealth from get-rich schemes quickly what? It disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you have to plan, and it all starts in saving. You have to start saving for those days when that retirement is coming. Now, I want to teach you something we're going to talk about this week and next week. We're just going to call it the 10-10-80 plan, okay? You guys have seen these cylinders up here on the stage. You're kind of walking through them with me. And I want you to know this first one, they're all to scale, by the way, which is kind of interesting. This is giving. This is tithing back to God, right? And then we have this one, which is savings, which we're talking about today. And then this is next week, we're going to be talking about spending. Look at the difference. But yet, for so many of us, when we start talking about saving, we don't know how to do that because this isn't enough. And we struggle with those because it's like, wait, if you take those, I don't know how I'll ever make it. And God's like, I've given you all of this. I'm just telling you to give this back to me. And then a wise person puts this aside for emergencies, for their future. And we want to teach you how to do that. And this is the way you do it. 10% of every paycheck. If you want to pass this test that we take every time we get a paycheck, you put 10 aside, you give back to God. Then you put 10 aside for savings. You just start to tuck that into a savings account somewhere. And I'll show you that in a minute because that's amazing what happens to this 10%. And then you use the other 80% to live. Do you notice that debt is not in there? I'll show that to you next week and why. And you'll start to see the picture on how damaging that can be when you start talking about your finances. But debt's not in there. So we only have these three cylinders. Next week, you'll start to see if you're one of those, and there's a lot of us in here, I know we have debt, you're going to see why this hurts us so bad when we start to add that to this formula. But this is a 10-10-80 formula, and we want you to start thinking about it in this term, 10 giving, 10 saving, 80 spending. Now, here's what I know. This one is very hard. As hard as this one is, we start going, well, I'm giving back to God. Isn't that enough? And man, you're telling me now I have to save some more. That leaves all of, you know, this, I can't use this for all the stuff that I want to do. How in the world? I'll just, you know what, when we get down the road, I'll start this. I won't start it today. I'll start it later. Thanks for the information. And I want to challenge you and say, look, this is what I know about this, about saving. You won't do it later. You won't do it when you pay off your car. You won't do it when you get a pay raise. You won't start saving when the kids leave the house. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that way. You will only save when it becomes an emotional priority for you. You have to make it a priority in your life, and it's got to mean something. Otherwise, you won't do this. And let me give you an illustration to prove this point. If I told you that you had to save $10,000 in 3 months, could you do it? I know many of you are like, there's no way. There's no way. Let me change the scenario a little bit. You've got a family member who's going through some medical issues, and they have to have a procedure done in 3 months, and it costs $10,000, otherwise they die. And I know you're thinking, well, which family member? Okay, that's not what I mean. Let's say it's the one you love, okay? So the family member that you really love needs a procedure, and if they don't get it in 3 months, they're going to die. Could you raise $10,000? You know what we'd say? Without a doubt, yes. Why? Because it now become an emotional priority. We're going to funnel everything to it. We're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we meet that. So we can save when we want to. We can do it. It just has to be an emotional priority. We have to make it a priority in our lives. Dave Ramsey says that personal finance is 20% head knowledge and 80% behavior. It's all about behavior. We know what to do. You know that you should be giving. You know that you should be saving, but we don't do it. It becomes an emotional thing. It becomes a behavioral thing for us if we're going to accomplish this. God has to get a hold of our heart, and he's got to change us from the inside out. And once that happens, then we'll be motivated to do it, to make it happen. It doesn't just happen on our own. Now, I want to show you why this is so important that you don't delay in this, okay? I want to show you why you need to start this now and not wait. And it's called compound interest. It's incredible. I remember seeing this for the first time. This is a graph that pops up in the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University booklet as you go through that course. And we took it for the first time when I was in my 30s. And I remember we got to this part, and I was so ticked. I mean, I left that meeting mad because I'm like, I'm 30-something, and now I'm just learning about this. If somebody had showed this to me when I was 15 years old, it would have changed my life because I could have done something about it back then, and now I feel like I'm strapped. I'm trying to get out of debt, and now you're going to show me that what compound interest does, right? Let me show you what I'm talking about. For young people in the room, pay attention to this because you need to know this. This is two examples side by side. Ben is on the left, Arthur's on the right. Ben invests $2,000 from the time he's 19 years old to the time he's 26 years old, $2,000 a year, which you guys, you could do that mowing lawns. Tuck that away and stick it into an account. And he doesn't add another dime to it after he turns 26. That's it. Arthur comes along, he starts to put $2,000 in the account when he's age 27, and he does it every year until he's 65. This is the incredible thing about compound interest. The money that Ben has on the left side is $2.2 million. He only put in for 8 years. Arthur put in for 38 years, and he only has $1.5 million. This is compound interest at its finest. Albert Einstein said that compound interest was the eighth wonder of the world. And I believe him. It's incredible when you really get to understand this. Now, even if you don't understand all the details on this, here's what I want you to know. This either works for you or against you. I want you to win, so I'm telling you this. I want you to start making it work for you. You start saving and start putting money aside and watch compound interest work. It's incredible. But here's the other side of it. It can work against you too. You know those credit cards that you've been racking up debt? Do you know why the credit cards have so much money? It's because they're using this against you. You're paying this back to them. This is why debt can be so damaging to financial peace. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So we need to start now and start planning and setting aside and saving, and you're going to see some amazing things happen. I know some of you, you have an excuse. You're like, Don, that sounds great. It's awesome, but you don't understand my finances. I can't give anything right now. If that's you, let me remind you of what our big idea is for the morning, all right? Lowering your standard of living to save for tomorrow can increase your quality of life today. That's the big idea. So if you say, I don't have enough money to save, here's my response to you. Lower your standard of living. That's how you do it. Well, how do you lower your standard of living? I'm so glad you asked, because I have some ideas for you. We're going to start off easy. It's going to get a little bit harder, and then I'm going to tick you off by the end, okay? But my job is not to tick you off. My job is to help you win, all right? So here's some ideas for you. First one, what if you stopped eating out at lunch every day at work and started packing a lunch? Holy smoke. Not revolutionary, is it? Do you realize the average person spends $200 a month eating out at work? Just their lunches. $200 a month you could save. That's money that could be going into a savings account. What about soda? How many of you like soda? See, I should raise two hands because this is my downfall. I should have taken stock out in Diet Mountain Dew when it came out. Do you realize the average family spends $1,000 a year on soda? That's your emergency count right there for short-term emergencies, right? You could raise that in a year just by not buying all the soda that you buy. Now, get this one. This one's going to tick some of you off, okay? What if you actually made your coffee at home? Right? I know. Some of you are like, ain't happening. But I'm telling you, the average American family spends $128 a month on coffee. $128 on brown water. That's where it's going. It's amazing how much money we spend on that. Here's another one. What about either cutting your cable or reducing your package? Yeah, some of the guys are like, right? I thought the same thing, because guys, I am an avid sports fan. I mean, I'm crazy sports nut, okay? I love sports. I'll watch it all day if I could. I love sports. And when we got ready to make this step and we were going to cut the cable, I literally thought I was going to die. Like, I thought, this is it. Just go ahead and plan, because I'm going to die over this decision because I love it so much. You know what I learned? First of all, I didn't die. That was the first thing. Second thing, here's the other thing I learned. It was amazing. The game didn't change because I wasn't watching it. The outcome was still the same. I didn't change the outcome of the game by watching it. It didn't make any difference. And here's what I found out. If I really, really want to watch a game, I go to B-dubs with a couple of friends or something and go watch it there. It's okay. And they pay for the cable. And I don't have the average family bill of $103 a month for cable. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, where do I get that cable? Because our cable out here is more expensive than that, right? We spend a lot more than that. You can save a lot of money just by cutting your cable. Now, let me cross some lines, okay? We're really going to get personal here. What if you took the car that was out in your driveway that has that big payment and you got rid of that and you went down and paid cash for a reliable hoopty? What if you did that? Because here's the truth of it, and this blows my mind. The average car payment in America today is $479 a month. That's the average. And if it's we're out here in the country, right? So you guys can't have average. You got to have that $90,000 GMC pickup. And that's getting closer to $1,300 a month on the payment. It's amazing what we spend in transportation. Do you realize that transportation, the whole reason for transportation is to get you from point A to point B? That's it? Oh, but I got to have my heated leather seats. You can find those in a nice, reliable used car. Do you know that? You can, and you can pay cash for it. It's amazing what we do to impress people that we don't even care about, you know? You could get rid of that. If you got rid of that one car payment, $479 a month, you would have over $5,700 a year to go towards savings or whatever else. Now, how about this? And I know you're going to think I'm crazy when I mention this one, but what if you sold your house and moved into a smaller place? I know there's all kinds of excuses why we can't, but if you come back next week, and I want you here next week because we're going to hit on the spending part next week, and you're going to hear a video testimony of somebody who did this last year after this series, and you're going to hear the impact that it had on their life. Just selling their house and moving to a smaller place that didn't cost them as much money. Because here's why. 80% of Americans today live under financial stress. 80%. And if you want to be different than them, you have to do something different than them. You have to make some big decisions. Remember, happiness depends more on creating margin than getting more stuff. How do you do that? Now, lowering your standard of living can actually create margin and increase your quality of life. And happiness depends more on that margin than it does getting stuff. So let me give you a takeaway. Okay, here's your challenge for the week. Just one thing. What is one thing that you can do to lower your standard of living, to create more margin, and increase your quality of life? Just one thing. If you're single, that's easy. You just figure it out and you make the decision, you move on. But if you're married, you actually have to consult them, okay? It's not, I'm just going to get rid of her clothing allowance. You can't do that, okay? You guys need to talk and agree on it. But here's the thing. If you get on the same page and you make this decision together, it's amazing what's going to happen, not only in your finances, but in your relationship. I want you, listen to me, I want you to win. I want you to go 100 in this area of your life. But you can only do that if you make these changes and start to follow God's plan and not Wall Street's. Some of us, we're followers of Jesus Christ. Like, we'll tell you, we're all out for Jesus. But that one area that holds us back most of the time is finances. We talk to people all the time. We hear this all the time. I would love to serve. Man, I'd love to help with that. But I have to work. But I have to work a second job. Because we have to buy, listen to me, not stuff we need, but stuff we want. Do you know what the number one reason why people can't go on missions trips? Number one reason. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. This one area holds us back so much. Back during the Crusades, they would take the knights into the water and they would baptize them because they were out slaughtering people, right? And so you need forgiveness of your sins, so let's take them into the water and let's baptize them. And they would go to baptize these knights, and these knights would draw their swords out and they would hold their swords up, and when they were baptized, they would baptize them all the way up to here, but not the sword. Why? Because they would need that to kill the next round of people. Can I say many of us, we came to Christ and we gave Christ everything, but we hold this up. We've dedicated and we've committed and we surrendered everything but this to Him. Because we have a better way. Because we want to do it the way we want to do it. And my question to you would be this. How's it working for you? Because my guess is if you're not following God's plan, it is not working very well. And you've got a lot of stress and no peace. Can I say this? God has a better plan for this. If you'll just follow it. What's one thing that you can do to decrease your standard of living, to create margin, and then increase your quality of life? Because I believe that's what God desires for you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now as people who want to be more like you, Lord, but this area we struggle with because it has so much to do with who we are, how we take care of our own. Lord, we've got such a death grip so often on our finances, and we stress over it and worry about it, and we always forget to give it to you. God, I pray that in this moment, you would remind us that you have a better plan, that you want to show us. That's why you say, test me in this. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to test you, to give it over to you, to watch what you can do and only you can do in our finances. God, I just pray that all of this continues to mold us and shape us into people that look more and more like you. And God, I pray that the decisions that are made here this day would be decisions that would bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said.
Thanks for joining us here at Mountain View Fellowship. We'd love the chance to meet you in person. We gather each Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 1955 Headlight Road in Strasburg, Colorado. If you aren't able to join us in person, we'll meet you right back here next week. God bless.